Well, friends, it's good to be with you this morning. I want to thank Alan for his kind words of welcome and thank Morris for his kind and gracious invitation to come along and to share with you in the Word of God. I'm no stranger to Lurgan as a town, but I think this is the first time that I've stood in the pulpit here. But I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity, and I trust the Lord will richly bless us as we gather around His Word. Just now, we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 30, please. Isaiah chapter 30. And we're going to read from verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of the young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now I go, write it before them on a table or a tablet, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. He shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a share to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not the teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and ye turn to the left. He shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstrous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed. And thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. And there shall be upon every high mountain, upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Finish there, verse 26, and we pray the Lord will richly bless the reading of his precious word. Let's bow together, please, for a moment of prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we bless and thank thee for thy precious word. It is living, it is powerful. We bless thee, our Father, it is life-giving. It lights our pathway. It encourages our hearts. It instructs and teaches us in the way that we should go. And Father, we pray just now as we gather round thy word, we ask for the help of thy gracious Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself in the word. And we pray, our Father, that we may see our God afresh this morning, that we might be encouraged in our hearts to know that God is here, and that to bless us. And so we ask help for the speaker and for the hearer. And we pray that thou wilt shut us in now with thyself, make us conscious of thy presence, and grant our Father that thy word may have free course in all our hearts, because we ask it for thy glory and for Christ our Savior's sake. Amen. The prophecy of Isaiah is a wonderful book. Indeed, it's perhaps one of my favorite books in all of God's word. Isaiah is often referred to as the evangelistic prophet because, of course, there's some wonderful things revealed to us about Messiah. It consists of 66 verses, and some have referred to it as a mini-Bible. The first 39 chapters, God is speaking to his people about their rebellion. He speaks to the nations. He speaks to the world. He speaks of judgment. And woven throughout those messages of judgment, of his righteousness and holiness, he also weaves through that messages of encouragement and comfort, messages of grace and power and mercy. And indeed, it is reflective of the Old Testament, how that God reveals himself through the law. And Paul says that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so the 39 chapters lead us to a point where we come to the 40th chapter, and it commences with the words, comfort ye my people. And the remainder of the book begins to reveal to us the servant of Jehovah. Chapter 43, verse 1 says, behold, my servant, mine elect, the one on whom I find all my desire. And so the book of Isaiah is a tremendous book. And we've been reading only one chapter out of this particular book. And it's a wonderful chapter. And I was reading this just a few weeks ago. And there's a verse that stood out to me that I've read it many times, and I had jotted a couple of notes down, but it seemed to really stand out. And I feel that this is the message that the Lord would have me to bring to you this morning. But before we speak about that particular verse, I just want to very briefly refer to the early verses of the chapter, because in these early verses of the chapter, it gives to us the remonstration of God about his people. These are a people, the children of Israel, the children of Judah have been rebellious. And indeed, in these opening chapters, we see that God is remonstrating with them because they were relying upon man instead of relying upon their God. You know, some of the things that we have revealed in the nation of Israel, well, the New Testament says the things that were written aforetime are written for our learning. Man hasn't really changed. Many people in the church today are just the same as many in the nation of Israel back in those times. Because basically, we still have that old sinful nature within us which wants to exert its authority upon us. And that's why we need to live close to the Lord. We need to be reading his word. We need to be praying in order that the new man, that new creation that God has made us, that it may become stronger and stronger. Then the natural man, the old man, will become weaker and weaker. But sometimes that doesn't happen. People neglect the word of God. They neglect prayer. And that was true concerning the nation of Israel. And so when it came to a crisis point, and God had already told them what was going to happen, but whenever the enemy was about to come to the gate of the city of Jerusalem, we're told that the people then, they decided that they would go down to Egypt for help. And God remonstrates with them here, and he rebukes them for turning down to Egypt. And God tells them that the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. And then we read these lovely words, their strength is to sit still. Now I know some commentators comment on this, and they say the word strength, there is the word Rahab, and it can mean proud, and it's actually speaking about Egypt and their pride will not help Israel. But you know, I believe that God is speaking concerning what the children of Israel need to do. Their strength is to sit still, not go down to Egypt, not to be depending upon man. And isn't it so true that sometimes we, when some crisis comes along, when something begins to happen, the first thing we do is to turn to man instead of turning to God. There are many things that are coming up in the world today, attacks upon the Word of God, upon the people of God, and we are to expect that in these last of the last days. But you know, it's a fearful thing to turn away from God and to turn to man for help. I just mentioned the Charities Commission thing. Some of you are very much aware of it, and pressure is being put on the churches to register with this Charities Commission, and they will then assume responsibility. If things don't go the way they want it, they will assume responsibility and come in and take over your church. That's basically, in a nutshell, what they're about in these times. It's a very deceptive thing that they're doing. But what do we do in that situation? Well, we turn to God. Our strength is to sit still and let God have his way. And these are lessons that we need to learn in these times. But not only does he rebuke them for relying upon man, but he goes on to rebuke the men for rebelling against his word. We read in verse 8, he speaks to Isaiah, and he says to Isaiah, "Now go, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." God tells Isaiah, I want you to write this down in a book so that there's absolutely no mistake, and those in future times will be able to read what I have said. And God gave them his word, because the people here were a rebellious people. And notice what it says here about their rebellion. It says in verse 9 that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And beloved, we have to be honest. There are many who claim to belong to the Lord who are not listening to the Word of God. They will not submit to the Word of God. They want to change the Word of God. They'll tell you that's not what it really means. And they put some other connotation upon the Word of God. That's what the people were doing here. Man hasn't changed. And whatever you do here in Lurgan Baptist, I plead with you to stand by the man who preaches the word. And as you look for another pastor, make sure he's a man who is true to the word. Because that's what we need to hear in these days. We need to hear the word of the Lord. If you go through Isaiah's prophecy and Jeremiah's prophecy and underline in your Bible the number of times that we read the little phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." And that's what we need for these days. And I beg of you not to turn away from the word as the people of Israel did. Because the Lord gives them encouragement in verse 15 when he says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." God doesn't want us to get excited about what's happening in the world today. God has already told us these things are going to happen. Don't get yourself out of sync with God because of the situation in our world today. God's still on the throne. God's still in control of everything that's happening. He's a God not only of Israel, and he's God not only of the church, but he's God of all the world. He's the God of the nations. And he's in control. He sets up kings and he puts down kingdoms. And he says that in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Don't get overexcited about men. God can remove them in a moment. And God has done it. He's done it in the recent past. One of our prime ministers boasted about spreading homosexuality across the world. And within a short space of time, where was he? He was removed from prime minister, and then eventually he was removed from the government altogether. That's God still working like that today. And we need to recognize that. But not only were they relying upon man and rebelling against the word, they rejected God's appeal to repent. God appealed to them to return and in rest shall ye be saved. And then he says, verse 16, but ye said no. Can you imagine God's people saying no to God? And yet it happens today. God's people refuse to listen to God, refuse to obey his word, and refuse to repent from the path that they've chosen to take away from God. And there's so many in the Church of Jesus Christ like that. I'm not speaking to sinners now who have never known Christ. I'm speaking to believers who are rebelling against the word of God and who refuse to repent of what they've done and said. They've said no to God. Now, God may not immediately step in, because this is the verse now that I want to speak about really in the time that's left to us, in verse 18. Verse 18 reveals many things about God, the nature of God. If you like, this is God's response to his rebellious people. Let me read it again to you. Verse 18 of Isaiah 13. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. A number of things that God reveals concerning himself in this verse are worth considering, and we may not have time to go through them all, but notice first of all the patience of God. And I think this is wonderful. It says, and therefore will the Lord wait. These are people who are relying upon man instead of God. They're rebelling against his word, and they've refused to repent. And yet God says, therefore will the Lord wait. You see, beloved, man does not force God's hand at any time. God has a plan and God has a purpose. And God, in every detail of his plan, will fulfill that plan in his time. We're told concerning our Lord's coming into the world that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. He wasn't working to man's calendar or man's timepiece. God has his own time. And whether it's in your own individual life or mine, or whether it's in the way he's dealing with the church today and bringing to the church that glorious time when he catches her out to be with himself, God is working to his time. And even in your own personal circumstances, there is nothing that happens by chance. Whenever Jacob cried out on one occasion, all these things are against me, he was wrong. They seemed to be against him. But God was working out everything for his glory and for Jacob's good. God made a nation out of Jacob, out of those things that he said was against them. And God was about to make a nation out of them. Things may seem to be against you, beloved, this morning. But God is working in your heart. God is working in your life. Indeed, the apostle reminds us, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's still working on you. No matter what your circumstances are, he's still working. And the Lord waits patiently for his time. And there'll come a time when you will know the blessing of God. God is a patient God. He's not going to be moved ahead of time by your complaints and your grumblings and your murmurings. He wasn't moved by Israel's murmurings. He says, therefore, will the Lord wait. I'm glad that our God is a patient God. He's been patient with me all my life. And beloved, he's been patient with you. But notice, not only is the Lord a patient God, but notice also the predisposition of God towards us and towards his rebellious people. This gives the reason why the Lord waits and the Lord is patient. It says, therefore will the Lord wait, listen, that he may be gracious unto you. Here was a people who deserved judgment. These people deserved to be wiped out because they turned away from God to man. They wouldn't listen to the word of God. They wouldn't even repent when God graciously offered them that repentance and rest, and they refused. But the Lord says that I'm going to wait. And the reason I'm going to wait is so that I can be gracious to you. Stop and think about it, beloved, in your own life and in my life. There's things that we have done. There's things that we have said. There's times we have disobeyed God. We have refused to obey God's will. And yet God is waiting patiently. And while he's waiting, he's pouring out grace upon us. We have received grace and salvation. But God is continuing to pour out grace into our souls day by day. God wants to be gracious. And beloved, that's the reason why we are able to say with the hymn writer, 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Because our God is a gracious God. Psalm 103 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And bless God, he's still the same today. You remember the time whenever Jonah was sent to Nineveh to preach the gospel to a people that he hated. And he didn't want to go. And afterward, when God dealt with him, Jonah confessed in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, it says that he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Listen, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah knew that if this people, Nineveh, repented, that God would be so gracious that he would forgive them. And he would spare them. Jonah knew the grace of God. And yet he refused to obey the word of God. And he turned away from God. And he went his own way. And God had to draw him back again. His chastening was severe. 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish. But God graciously dealt with Jonah. And beloved, God graciously deals with you and me still today. He has loved us with an everlasting love. And whatever you may be facing or whatever you may be going forth today, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord says, therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. Then notice not only his predisposition of God, that he's a gracious God, but also notice that he is the preeminent one. He's the preeminent God. Listen again to what the scripture says. Therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And then listen. And it says, therefore will he be exalted. You know, beloved, there's no greater way that God has demonstrated his grace than in the sending forth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the words of John and his gospel, that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, in the essence in this verse that we are looking at this morning, I believe that God is giving us in one verse his wonderful dealings and purposes with man. He's saying, I'm waiting patiently. And the reason why I'm not intervening at this present time in judgment and destroying you all is because I want you to know I'm gracious. And if you understand that I'm a gracious God and I'm waiting patiently, then I will be exalted. Beloved, you and I who are saved this morning, we ought to be exalting our God. The Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. In Psalm 46, one of my favorite psalms, at the end of the psalm, we read these words. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And then he says, "I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And then the psalmist's response to that is, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." You see, beloved, when we know the patience of God, and we know that while in that period of time when he's dealing patiently, that he's being a gracious God, then we ought to exalt our God, because in exalting God, we can be assured that God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in time of trouble. He's an exalted God. He's far above all. And beloved, that means he's ruling over all the nations. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's a wonderful God. He's exalted God. There's none to be compared to him. And we ought not to give to any other religion in the world a place that is rightfully God's. He's the only true and living God. Do you really believe that? He's our God this morning. He's not on a level with anybody else or anything else. He's far above all. And we need to bow to him. We need to reverence him. We need to exalt him onto the throne of our hearts and give them the glory that's due to his name. He's the preeminent God. You know, beloved, not only is he the preeminent God, but notice also the pity of God. You see, while he's waiting and while he's exercising grace toward us and while he's the exalted God, listen, because of all that he's done through Jesus Christ, he says it's that he may have mercy upon you. As I meditate upon this more and more, I believe that we could see the Lord Jesus Christ in this verse. He says, "Therefore will I wait." He says, "that I may be gracious unto you." And in grace, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And what happened to him? He was despised and rejected of men. They took him and they hung him upon a cross. He was buried in a tomb, but he rose again the third day from the dead. And we're told in the scriptures that he's being exalted far above all. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. And you see, beloved, because Jesus and grace came into this world and God revealed his grace in Christ, and because he died on the cross and he's risen again, God is able to be merciful to you and I. God righteously and justly can show mercy to poor sinners like you and me. That's why God says, "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you." I thank God for his mercies every day. Jeremiah was able to remind us that it's by God's mercies we're not consumed. Great is his faithfulness. There's not one of us here this morning deserves to be here. There's not one of us deserves to gather around this table and remember the Lord. But God has been merciful. God is patiently waiting in these dark and difficult times. And he wants his people to turn to him in their time of need. He wants his people to take heed to the word that he's given us. And he wants us, when we do fall, as John exhorts us in his epistle, that when we do sin, remember we have an advocate with the Father. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you've turned from the Lord and there's a need of repentance this morning, I urge you to repent now, because our God is gracious and merciful, and God will lovingly restore to himself those who have wandered. Like the prodigal of old, he waits for the prodigal to return. But not only that, I want you to notice also the purity of God. It's reflected in the little phrase, the Lord is a God of judgment, or a God of justice. And beloved, that's why we need grace and mercy. Because the psalmist in Psalm 103 says that God will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. There's a day appointed when God is going to judge the world in righteousness. There's coming a day when God is going to destroy the nations. The nations that boast against him now, as described for us in Psalm number 2. God is going to destroy those nations. For the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And I don't know if there's any nations, only Israel, that hasn't forgotten God. I know Israel's back in unbelief, but they still believe in Jehovah. They haven't received the Messiah, many of them. Praise God, there are many who are receiving him today. But as a nation, they haven't received God's Messiah. But they do believe in God. They believe in Jehovah. The Prime Minister has a Bible study in his office every week for his cabinet. And he opens the Old Testament scriptures and they study it together. And he knows many of the prophecies in the Old Testament. But bar that, I don't know any other nation. I know there's believers in every nation. But I don't know any other nation which is for God in these days. God is a God of justice. And when God's time comes, God will intervene. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, the verse finishes off, blessed are all they that wait for him. That's the promise of God. What are we to do in the meantime? We're to wait for God to work. You can't do it. I can't do it. The church can't do it. Only God can do it. Sometimes I feel that we as the church think that we can change the world. In fact, there's some preachers who tell us that that's why we're here. We're here to change the world and make it ready for the Lord to come back. Then there comes a time when we can invite the Lord to come back and take up his kingdom. That's a blasphemy. The work is God's. Our place in society today is to preach Christ. Our place is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, to hold him up to the gaze of a sinful world, and preach that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. That's our purpose as the church today, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, that in everything Christ may have the preeminence. Now, we don't have time to go through the next verses, but if you read down the following verses from 20 to 26, you will realize here, verse 19 down to verse 26, you will notice some of the blessings that God mentions here. He mentions the blessing of a place. He says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. And beloved, for you and me, there's a place prepared for us in heaven. He speaks of an answer to prayer in verse 19, the second part. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. God answers prayer, and he's doing it today. He gives the assurance of a person. It says here in verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers, and that actually should be singular, thy teacher be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teacher. And he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who is the Word of God. And then he says that thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. I suggest to you that's the work of the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit speaks to our minds and to our hearts, to our souls. The Lord said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you into all truth. Do you hear His voice? Are you listening for His voice? And the result of that is our fellowship with God as it is renewed. In verse 22, we'll destroy the idols that are in our lives. And then He goes on to speak of the promises. Showers of blessing, verse 23, then shall He give the rain of thy seed, and thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. And then He gives the promise of a wonderful day, the dawn of everlasting light, when He says, moreover, the light of this moon shall, verse 26, shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of His people and healeth the stroke of their wound. What a day that's going to be. When all the wounds will be healed, and the Lord brings us into a place where there's everlasting joy and pleasures forevermore. That's God's plan and purpose. We have a great God. And I trust and pray just this morning as we have been thinking about these things, that you'll go over those things again and allow the Lord to impress them upon your heart and your soul. He's a patient God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's the high and holy one who inhabits eternity. He's the exalted God who is all glorious, and all glory and honor and power is due to Him. Let's live for Him in these days. Let us wait patiently upon our God. Let us be still and know that He is God. Let Him prove Himself to you. Don't take matters into your own hands, no matter what your problem is. Bring every need to the Lord, because He says, my grace is sufficient. May the Lord bless His word to all our hearts. Let's pray together.